Welcome. Hook 'em. Something. Texas actually winning again. Y'all know why we use the word y'all in the South? Because it takes away the two worst letters, O-U. Right? Gotta get rid of that. Oh, man. We love to have fun at Promised Land. Got to pray for those Bobcats, though. They are struggling. Bobcats are having a hard time. We're glad that you're here today. Welcome to our church. It's an honor to have you. And please make yourself at home. I've met several new folks here already today. And we love having guests at Promised Land. And we're here to help you answer any questions that you might have. And at the end of the service, Pastor Will's going to talk to you about a deal we have tonight, actually, that's called Next Steps. If you're interested in Promised Land, maybe you're here just kind of kicking the tires or figuring out what Promised Land's about tonight. You can actually learn a lot more about it if you're interested. So get out a Bible if you have one. If you don't, some of the verses will be on the screen. A lot of them won't, though, because I changed my notes last night, and I did not want to put too much work on the computer people back there. So we are starting a brand new series today. At Promised Land, we do message series. And so in the month of October, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I know other people talk about ghosts all throughout October, and so we just figured we should talk about the best one, the Holy Ghost. And so throughout the Bible, you'll see Holy Ghost, you'll see Holy Spirit. Those are interchangeable words, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. The main thing you need to know is that the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is God with us, a comforter and an advocate for us and with us. And so we're going to be talking about that over the next couple weeks. Have you ever heard anybody say that they're in the doldrums? It's kind of a little older term, but so-and-so is in the doldrums, or I was in the doldrums, or whatever. That's a colloquialism that people use to say that they're having a hard time, right? They're in a dark place. They're in a fearful place, a sad, lonely place. Depressed place. That's the doldrums, right? You've heard of the doldrums? I just found out recently that's an actual place. It's named after a place in the ocean, right on the equator, both in the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, where the north winds and the south winds cancel out, basically, and there's no wind. And so before boats had motors, they would get in the doldrums, this location in the ocean on the equator, and be unable to go anywhere because there was no wind to take them. And so ships would literally get lost in the doldrums for weeks and months. Sometimes people would die in the doldrums because they could not get out of them. And I tell you that story because I know that there's people here today that are often in situations where you feel like there's just no progress. There's no ability to get forward, to move out. And maybe you're in a lonely place or a sad place, or you're in the doldrums. You thought it was just a figure of speech. But I'm here to say that it's real. You know, there's some difficult times in life where you get stuck and you can't figure out how to keep rolling or keep sailing, right? But you came to the right place also, because we believe in a wind that can provide a place for you, a route for you that can take you from the doldrum where you are right now into a life that God has planned for you. When you read the Bible and you read about the Holy Spirit, there's over 800 references in the Bible to the Holy Spirit. And the word that is used for spirit is better translated wind or breath of God. So that's really the dimension that I want to talk to you about today, is the wind of God, the breath of God, that is God, and that is the tangible handle for us, or the tangible place where we can actually feel God. At Promised Land, we don't want to apologize or try to make excuses for the fact that you can feel something at Promised Land. That you can feel something when you drive up on the parking lot, that when you're in worship, like we just felt some things during those songs right there. If you felt something, it was like, what is that? That's a good thing. That's called the Holy Spirit. That's called God. That's called He loves you and He wants to be with you. So if that's a little weird to you or that's a little strange, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. We want to make sure that you know that God is a loving God. He's an ultimate gentleman. He would never come to you in any way to impose upon you or anything like that. Okay, so let's go to the Bible, and I want to show you where we see the Holy Spirit really coming forth the first time in what we call the church, the new church. And so when we open up the book of Acts, we see that Jesus is alive. He had been crucified and buried in the tomb, but he rose on the third day. And so when we open up the book of Acts, he's alive. And this is after his resurrection. And it's been a few weeks after the resurrection. So it's very fresh. And he's about to ascend into heaven. But before he ascends into heaven, he gives his followers some very, very important words. And when I say he gives them to his followers, I'm talking about Peter was there, John was there, all the other disciples were there, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, Martha was there, Mary the Magdalene was there. All these famous characters of the Bible were listening to Jesus in this moment. And this is what Jesus says, Acts 1 and 4. Once, when Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift." Everybody say gift.
Gift.
The gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water. But just in a few days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is telling these people, go to Jerusalem and wait. You will be baptized. Now, the word baptized means to be fully immersed. The original word, the Greek word in the Bible was baptismo, and we just converted it into English as baptism. But that word means to be fully immersed into. And so he said, you were fully immersed into water and water baptism. And that was the tradition of the day, fully immerse them into water. And that's our tradition at Promised Land. Is we have this baptistry over here, so when people are ready to be baptized, we fully immerse them into water, and because that's what baptism means, full immersion, and then bring them back out. And I remember when I was learning to be a pastor, and I was in training, and those of you that were here Wednesday night met my trainer, okay? And so you're going to understand this story much better, those of you that were here. We were baptizing folks, and he was standing beside me, and I was baptizing them, and I baptized this lady and brought her back out. And you know what he said? You need to do that again. And I was like, what? I need to do it again? Why? I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. And he said, you didn't fully immerse her in the water. Her arm was still hanging out. You didn't fully immerse her. So Rob, whenever you baptize somebody, you got to fully immerse them. I was like, ma'am, I'm sorry you got me today. I got to re-baptize you. I'll never forget that moment in training or whatever. And till this day, it started right there at that second baptism. I was like, this lady is going down. I don't know what it's going to take. But it's like, you're going down. I don't know what's wrong with your arm, but it's going in there too. Full immersion. What Jesus says is you'll be fully immersed, you'll be fully baptized with a spirit. Not just water, but the Spirit. And look what they said, verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? So he just gives them this amazing thing. You're about to be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. And they respond with, Jesus, are you going to allow Jerusalem to kick out Rome and take over the government and really basically make our lives a whole lot easier? And Jesus goes, oh my goodness, okay. That's not for you to understand. Look what the Bible says right here. It says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. Those are not for you to know. So in other words, your life's not going to get progressively easier from this point forward. They wanted to know, Jesus, is life going to get easier? Is life going to get better? Is Israel going to become, you know, the king of the world again? Are we going to have power over Caesar and Rome? Are we going to be the authority? And Jesus says, you guys are missing the point. That's up to God. That's up to some. You don't need to worry about that. And basically what he was saying is your life's not going to get any easier. But that's not the point. Look what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Basically, what Jesus was telling his disciples is that life's not going to get really easier for you, but I'm going to give you power to overcome anything that you face in this broken world. I'm going to give you the ability to face anything. So it doesn't matter if Rome's in charge. It doesn't matter if Caesar's on the throne and controlling. It doesn't matter if Pilate is still controlling Jerusalem. It doesn't matter who's on the Supreme Court. Did I just say that? God is giving you his Holy Spirit so that whoever or whatever is ruling this broken world is not going to affect you or your family or your marriage or your health or your emotional capacity or your spiritual life. What Jesus is offering you is so much better than some perfect world. He's offering you his Spirit to live in you. That's what he's saying. He's baptizing you with his power so that no matter what you face, when you have his Spirit in your life, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Look at the very next chapter, chapter 2 of Acts. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled. How many? Everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The Holy Spirit was poured out, released, brought forth, whatever words you want to use. And I want to encourage you, if you're not familiar with the book of Acts, this is a tremendous historical book in the Bible that gives you the chronological order of the church and how it was established with the apostles and Paul and Peter and John and Lydia and all the amazing characters of the first church and how they built the first church. And all throughout the book of Acts, you see all these experiences where God's Holy Spirit was poured out on human beings. And here's something that's also a reoccurring event, is that many times these were believers. These were people that already trusted in Jesus, already believed in Jesus, and they had not received this inundation or this baptism of God's Spirit, especially those in Acts 2. They were all there. They witnessed the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And they were with Jesus. And they were believing in him. And they were trusting in him. And they had yet to receive the Spirit of God in their life. And then we read in Acts 19, 20 years later. 20 years later, the apostles go into Ephesus, and when they got into Ephesus, they said, "Have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" This was 20 years after Acts, the second chapter. And so that tells us that there could be groups of believers that aren't even aware that the Holy Spirit is present and available to believers. So, wow, if you're here today and you weren't aware of that, I just want you to know the Holy Spirit is alive and well. The Holy Spirit is moving. And I'm believing that when we get to heaven, we're going to see other chapters of Acts that weren't written in the Bible. And they're going to say, you know, Acts ends at chapter 28. So we're going to see Acts 29. There was a group of people gathered in San Marcos, Texas in 2018. And as they began to praise and worship God, he filled the room where they were sitting. Wow. And they met God in a tangible way. They met God in a tangible way. I want to encourage you that God has more for every single human being. Just when you feel like you've got God figured out, or you're able to reason it out, or logically figure it out, or scientifically figure out God. No. That means you think you are God because you've got it all figured out. God is much bigger than what you can wrap your head around, wrap your brain around. And so what our posture should always be is open heaven, open mind. Lord, fill me. Whatever you've got, Lord, I want it. It's real, and it's good. It's not weird or kooky or freaky or whatever. It's pure, and it's what the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And that's some of the things we're going to talk about in other weeks, is how the Spirit of God actually shows up in our life. The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control, the faithfulness. That's what we call the fruit. That's when the Spirit is flowing through your life. You got evidence of the Spirit in your life. You got fruit of the Spirit in your life. So we're going to be talking about that. But today I really want to talk about this wind. This wind. And if you'll give me that little prop. Okay, I love props. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? Y'all think I can get this thing going up in this room? So this kite is your life. It's a little fishy, okay? I got jokes today. All right. So this is your life, and you're trying to get your life off the ground. And we can try to get it going, right? I'm going to get this thing. I'm going to get my life going. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be happy. My marriage is going to be good. My finances are going to be good. And you can start using your efforts. You can start doing this. Like, yeah, I got it. Everybody likes me at work. And I'm going to fly this life of mine. It's going to be successful. And so our efforts are hard work. You know, we're going to put a lot of sweat equity into it. We're going to really try hard. We're going to read some good books and Tony Robbins and all these amazing things. Is he around anymore? I don't even know. So we get it going, and then that happens, right? Or we go, okay, I've seen other people do this. I've seen Will Krause. I've seen Tabitha. Their life's amazing. Their kite's flying in the air. So I'm gonna be like them, and I'm going to run. Woo! Got up. I got it, right? Let's try that one more time. Here we go. Ready? Yeah, I'm flying my life. Then I run out of space to run. Is this flying a kite? Is my kite flying? No. There's no wind in here. For those of you that have been successful at flying a kite and been able to get it up in the air, you know that you do have to run. You do have to have good string. You do have to put some effort out. But once you get it to a certain height, it grabs a hole, or it catches a current of wind. And I don't, obviously we're indoors and I can't display it for you perfectly, but pretend like it's up in the air and it's flying like this, right? It's flying. And that's what it sounds like because the wind's blowing it and it's pushed it up in the air. And it's flying and it's awesome. And when you get it up in that wind current, you don't have to keep running, right? Because it's in the wind. And every once in a while, you have to pull it a little bit or let some string out, let it go higher and higher and higher. And as a kid, you wanted to see how high it could go. You let all your string out, and it's like, you know, and so it's flying. And then you see, oh, no, there's a high line wire. Get it back over. There's a tree over there. So you're kind of guiding it a little bit, but you're not running anymore. You're not forcing it anymore. You're not making it stay up in the air because there's a current that it is flying in. And that's how our lives are when we get into the current of the Holy Spirit. We open up ourselves to God, and we connect with God through our prayer and through our worship and through the reading of His Word and our devotion. That's sort of the running, right? The worship is their running. That's getting our life in the flow of the Spirit. Once it's in the flow, it is flying without us making it fly. Because the Spirit of God is this amazing wind. So what I want to do is I want to leave this right here. And then I want to talk to you about what wind is like. Because the attributes of wind are so similar to the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The first one is this. Wind is unseen. You can't see wind. You can feel the effects of wind, but you can't see wind. You can't see wind, but you can see the trees moving. You can feel the wind on your face. And as I said earlier, we'll never apologize about wanting to feel God, because God can be felt. And for those of you that have been living a life and trying to be good and trying to follow all the rules and trying to get it just right, and all you've done is, the term is mentally ascend. It's mental ascent. You've just mentally understood God. And so you're trying to get the philosophy right and trying to do certain things in order to fit in and trying to learn certain principles so that you can know it in your head and wrap your brain around it. I'm here to tell you that there's a better way, that the Spirit of God can actually be in your life and allow you to connect with God. And it can, and it's not that, you know, emotions, you can be very emotional without being spiritual. But, right, we know some emotional people. But when you truly get spiritual, it's really hard not to be emotional, because it is so overwhelming and it's so peaceful, and it's a good emotional. It's a good cry. So God is unseen in this wind. God's Spirit is unseen, but it is felt. Look at John 14:16. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. He's unseen. They don't understand it because they're not looking, and they don't have their kite out ready to catch the wind of God. But look at this. But you know him. You know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So he's talking to disciples before Acts 2 started. This is John 14:16. This is before Acts 2 and the Spirit came in them. So he's saying, you've had this experience of God's Spirit around you. You've had these moments where God's Spirit has been around you. But there's going to come a day when his Spirit can come inside of you. And what I'm wanting to help everybody understand is we're in that time right now. We are post crucifixion. We're after the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We're after that. We're also after Acts, the second chapter, where his spirit was poured out. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, there will be a day when these signs of the spirit are no longer needed, when the time of perfection has come. What I think we all understand, the time of perfection has not come yet. So that means we're still living in the day where God's spirit is available for us, that his signs, wonders, and miracles are available for us, that the fruit of the spirit is available for us, his gifts are available for us. And they're not just available for us to enjoy and to get fat and happy and rich, but they're for us. Remember what he said in Acts 1 and 8. He says, you're about to be endued with power so that you can become a witness for me. The Spirit is engaging with us and connecting with us so that we can be a part of him and building his kingdom. Okay, that's the first thing. When is unseen. The second thing is when is unpredictable, right? So we never know which way the wind's going to turn. And I have an uncle that's a pilot, and I remember flying with him a few years ago. And as we were in Colorado leaving, and it was very important. There's mountains all around us, and we had to wait all day for the wind to change directions. He did not want to fly out with the wind blowing in a certain direction. And so he wanted to see that windsock at the end of that runway blowing straight toward us. As long as it was blowing sideways, we weren't going to take off because that wind was going to blow us this way. But as long as that wind was coming straight at us, it was providing the perfect lift for us to get off the ground. But it's unpredictable. We don't know. So we wait for the wind to blow toward us. And you can't predict God. It's not a formula. I wish I could tell you, if you will do these certain things and you'll feel the Holy Spirit tomorrow when you wake up. God is unpredictable. We don't know how the Spirit is going to move and when the Spirit is going to move. But we're ready. We're willing. We're able. We open up our hearts and our minds, and we're ready to receive him. There is a point in Scripture when God used a burning bush in the Old Testament to speak to Moses back then. And, you know, who would have thought of that? He would never have predicted that. Moses would have never said, well, you know, I'm pretty sure God's going to talk to me in a burning bush that never burns up. There was a guy that saw Jesus heal someone's blinded eyes by laying his hands on them. He had a blind friend, so he brought his blind friend to Jesus and was like, Jesus, do that thing where you lay hands on him, and he's healed. And so what does Jesus do? He goes down on the ground, spits in the dirt, makes little mud balls out of his spit, and puts the spit mud balls in the guy's eyes. And the friend was thinking, that's not how it happened the last time. Why? He's embarrassed. He's trying to. God just moves in mysterious ways. He does it however he wants to. Why is that the case? Because he always wants us looking to him. He always wants us to be relying on him. He doesn't want to be a fixed formula or whatever, because then we start taking the credit and the ability and the accolades for it. No, he wants to be the one that is causing everything. He's God, and that's how he works. So the wind is unpredictable. Number three, the wind is powerful, right? Wind generates electricity. Have y'all been to Sweetwater or Lubbock lately and driven through the countryside and seen all of the amazing wind mills that are out there from like Abilene, Sweetwater, Brady on up north? It's amazing. And then have you seen one blade going down the interstate? One of those blades going down the interstate is like 100 feet long. It's incredible that one truck is struggling to get one blade. But they mount that blade up on that windmill and it starts. The wind is so powerful that it's able to drive that and generate electricity. The wind pushes sailboats. The wind is able to destroy huge buildings because of tornadoes and hurricanes in a destructive way. Wind is so powerful. When we look at the wind of God, we see that God's power affects our life. I am standing up on this stage today, not because of my natural ability. I'm standing up here today because something happened to me when I was a young man. I remember I was about 16 years old, and I remember God impacting me with the power of his Holy Spirit. It was a moment that I'll never forget. And it was an inundation. It was a baptism. It was an immersion in God's Spirit. And I can't explain it. It was unpredictable. I had wanted it to happen for a long time, and it took longer than I thought it would. And but one day, as I was worshiping in church and just getting beyond my comfort zone and getting beyond my pride and just worshiping God, God's Spirit came through me, around me, over me. And it was subsequent to my belief in Jesus. And it was about 4 years after my baptism into Jesus. And so there was this feeling. And so all my life, I grew up as the shyest kid around. I was hiding behind my mom in public and not wanting to talk to anybody. And I remember we were at, I don't know if I've told y'all this, but we were at Mr. Gaddy's. That was like the only fun place to go when I was a kid. And it wasn't like Gaddy Town. It was like Gaddy, you know, ghetto or something. Anyway, it was like two video games. And but it was amazing. And so there was this big TV there. And we'd eat pizza and watch this big TV. And I remember wanting to change the channel. My parents said, go up to the clerk and tell them to change the channel. And it was like they had told me to go, you know, fight somebody, kill somebody. There's no way I'm going to go do that. There's no way. I was so shy. I was painfully shy. And so to think that I would be a professional public speaker, just from the world's perspective now, and get up in front of you and speak to you on a week-in, week-out basis, and you actually come back for some reason, I'm here to tell you it's not because of me. It's because of the Holy Spirit that has equipped me to do what God's called me to do. And it was actually in high school where I began to see this. And I remember I won an essay contest, and the essay winners had to go give a speech. And there was all these people up there that were in speech class giving their speeches. And I had never been to a speech class. And I stood up, and I read it. I didn't even give a, I didn't have the fancy note cards and all that. I just read it. And thought, if I just read it and smile to the judges, I may win. And I did. I won it. And it was that, I was like, something's happening in me. Something's different in me. God is going to use me for something different than I thought he was going to use me for. And I'm here to tell you, I'm the husband that I am and the dad that I am because of the Holy Spirit. We've been married almost 20 years. We have three kids now. They're almost all teenagers. Our oldest daughter is severely disabled and handicapped. And so caring for her is so difficult and very, very challenging. And the divorce rate for families with disabled children and special needs children is much higher than a normal family. But by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he equips Erica and I to get along, to like each other, and to help each other, and to be selfless towards one another. It's not us. And people come to us all the time and go, you're special people. God only allows us to happen to special people. And we say, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But when this does happen, he equips those people to become special because of his power. But it's not like we are special people in and of ourselves. No, we're not. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God, we wouldn't make it. I wouldn't be up here. This wouldn't be happening. It's the Spirit of God. And I get convicted sometimes because I don't tell you enough. And I never want you to think that this is because of some sort of talent or charisma or skill or practice or study or whatever. Everything that you see that happens in this place, in this family, is because the Spirit of God is equipping regular human beings that are just humbling themselves and giving themselves to God. There's no super talented people here, super rich people. Forgive me, everybody that think that you are. You're not, okay? It's because of God that we are here. This church is 15 years old, and it's here because of the Holy Spirit of God. And we want you to know that. We're just regular people. We're just regular people. We're going to disappoint you at some point. I'm telling you. There's people that leave, they get disappointed. I say, if you're looking to be disappointed, I can disappoint you right now and you can leave. You don't have to wait several years. It's because of God's Spirit. And I want that to be breathed. I want that to be breathed into your life and feel that His wind is powerful. If you're facing an impossibility in your life, maybe it's a financial thing or relationship thing or a thing at work or as a parent, you're just racking your head, you're just bumping your head up against the ceiling. How can this work? I don't understand it. We only make this much, we have this much expenses. This is not working. Our marriage is not, there's so many things that are impossible. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit has the power to overcome any obstacle that you're going through. The final thing is this: wind is refreshing. You know, when we're in August and we go out to our car after we've been in Target for 5 hours and get in your car, it's so hot, right? It's so hot. It's hot outside, but it's so much hotter inside. The first thing that I do is roll down the windows, turn on the air conditioner full blast, and allow the wind to change the atmosphere of my car. I want the wind to start blowing on my face. I want to start driving down the road. I want to get the heat out, and I want to let the coolness come in. And so that's why I open up the windows. I start driving down the road. I want to change the atmosphere of my car. That's the same thing that happens, is that the wind of God can begin to blow across your life, blow across your heart, blow across your mind, and begin to change the atmosphere of your thinking from it being a negative thing to saying, you know what, I think we're going to make it. Why? Because God's in control. God's in charge. That's refreshing. I know that because that's what the Word of God says. I know that because I talked to God this morning. I know that because I read His Word. I know that because I've been talking to other people that are going in the same direction. And they confirmed it to me that God's in control. And I may get confused. I may get focused on myself and get down in the doldrums. But I know that God's wind is going to start blowing in my life and start changing the atmosphere of my emotions and my attitude and my future. Amen. The wind of God is so refreshing. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says that this is what scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things. How? By His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. If you are in a place where you can't even imagine how this is going to work, what the Bible tells us right here is that God's going to do a work in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to blow your mind. You didn't see it coming. You didn't think it was going to happen. But God's going to make it happen through the power of His Spirit. So this is what we're going to do this week. We're going to set our sails to receive the wind of God. And the way we're going to do that is we find it in Scripture. We go back to Acts, the second chapter, and we see that as these people had been filled with the Holy Spirit, they begin to act differently, right? They begin to act drunk. Y'all know what it's like to be drunk? Come on. I know y'all acting all holy. It's a 10 o'clock service. Some of y'all been drunk, okay? Y'all know what it's like. So the people walk by, it's like, these people are drunk. And Peter said, they're drunk, but not the way you think they're drunk. They're under the influence of God, not of alcohol or drugs or whatever. They're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so he preaches to them the gospel of Jesus and says, this Jesus whom you crucified was not just a great man, not just a great prophet, but he's the Savior of the world. He died for your sins and he was buried, but on the third day he rose from the dead. He preaches the gospel to them, and the Bible says that their hearts were pricked. Their hearts were stirred and said, how can we get in on this? We see what you're saying. We are convicted in our hearts, and we are wanting to be a part of you. We like what we see. We like what we hear. How can we do this? And Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. So let's just stop there for a second. If you're here today and you'd say, I want in on what you're talking about, Robin. I want in on this Holy Spirit that you're talking about. Our first step is to tell God, I'm sorry for all those things that I was doing to try to make this thing fly by itself. I'm sorry for, you know, just looking to myself. I'm sorry for thinking that I was going to figure out life, that if I just made enough money or if I got that raise or if those people liked me or whatever, that I would be okay, that I'd be happy, that I'd be satisfied. Lord, forget. That's repentance, saying, Lord, I'm sorry for living for myself in my own way. I want to live for you. I want to live for your kingdom and your way. That's repentance. Then baptism, as we've talked about that already today, but if you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you to be baptized here at Promised Land. In fact, we don't have a special class for it or a special sign-up procedure or anything. If you're here today and you've given your heart to Jesus and you've surrendered to Him and you say, I've never been water baptized, we'll baptize you today. In fact, throughout the book of Acts, they would go into a city and say, what keeps you from being baptized? Basically, is there water? Is there a pastor? Are there towels? Is there a change of clothes? We have all that here. You don't even have to worry about that. But mainly, is there anything in your life that's keeping you from being baptized? Are you still holding on to your old ways? So if you're done with that, that's between you and God. We'll take your word for it and we'll baptize you today. But here's the other thing the Bible says in Acts 2:38, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then it says, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's going to happen. You're going to receive His Spirit. And so what I want to encourage you today is get lost in worship. Just begin to worship God. Don't try to prove yourself to God. Don't try to act like you got it all figured out. Don't try to put up a front before God. Just worship God. Just praise Him. If you don't know what that means, get on Spotify and play Hillsong in your car on the way to work tomorrow and just let go and let God, all right? Or whatever worship song you can find. There's Bible apps that you can get that will read the Bible to you. Get that on in your car. Just let the Word of God and just say, Lord, I want this Word to be living in my life. God, I want a part of your life. I want in on this. Worship is the one thing in Scripture that there's no prerequisite for. The only thing that you have to have is breath. That's what the Bible says. If you got breath, you can praise the Lord. If you got breath, you can worship the Lord. So let's do that. Would you do that with me? We're going to sing this song. And that's our closing prayer today is, Holy Spirit, come on, Holy Spirit, fill this place. And when we say place, you can stand if you'd like. We say place, we're not talking about this building. We're talking about this place. Fill this place. If you're ready for that, let's sing it together.
And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill
the atmosphere. Your glory, Lord.
Your glory
is what our heart longs for.
What our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit.
You're welcome here. You're welcome right here.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Your glory, Lord.
Your glory,
what our heart longs
God
for.
Is what our hearts long for. So to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Let's just pray together a prayer of repentance right now. And I can't pray this prayer for you, but I can pray it with you. You can pray this. You say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I repent before you. I confess my sin before you, God, and I repent of all those selfish things. Come on, just declare that to God right now. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me, Lord. All those barriers that are ahead of me, in front of me, those selfish things, those things in my past that are so heavy. Lord, please forgive me. I open up my heart to you, God. I trust in you, Jesus, as my Savior and Lord. I look to you, Jesus, as the way. I look to you, Jesus, as the door. God, I give you my heart today. Please cleanse my life. Heal my life. Fill my life, God. Lord, only you can make me eligible. Only you can make my life, my sail, available to your wind. Lord, do that today, I pray in Jesus' name. Give us the strength, God. And now we just say, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. We don't want to go dry and barren. We don't want to be lonely or afraid. We don't want to grieve like the world grieves, God. We want to be comforted. We want to be surrounded and filled with your Spirit. Let's sing that one more time. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill.
Come fill this place and fill the atmosphere.
Your glory, Lord.
Your glory
is what our heart longs for.
What our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
I want that song just to continue to be your theme throughout this week. You can sing that song every day, all day. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought process to be in. Lord, just allow me to be a vessel. Fill me, God. Flow through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands right now. Let's